The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
This volume has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Benny and Joyce Westreich of Los Angeles, California, in the schus of Chana Bas Zacharia, Mrs. Susan Unger. May she have arichas yomim, with health, simchas and nachas, from her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, ad mea v'esrim shana.
Dushnav Chav Zayin. Now, Gemara brings down the case of a person who told his somebody that I'm going to sell you a field. Amunash Echtei V'Sashtar. Be zoich in the field. Amunash Echtei V'Sashtar. Amunash Shetichtu V'Sashtar. He tells the Edom, Schub Sada Zula Ploini. Amunash Shetichtu V'Loya Sashtar. So Gemara says, Chayzer Bein Mishtar Bein Besada. The Rosh discusses what's the pshat that the meicher could be chayzer bein mishtar bein mesada. L'chayra, one would have thought that the kinyan has been completed. The Edom did the ma'isa kinyan for the kainan, for the loikeach. And there's a t'nai. The t'nai is that the Edom would write a shtar. So every time a person makes a kinyan, he completes the transaction of a kinyan, and he makes a t'nai, so the moicher will not be able to be chayzer just because he made a t'nai. If the whoever has to be mekayim the t'nai, whoever has to fulfill the chiyuv of the t'nai, will do it whether the moicher likes it or not. So why can't the Edom go ahead and write a shtar, and then the land will belong to the loikeach? Why could the moicher back out of the mecher and change his mind just because he made a condition that there has to be a shtar written up for the loikeach? Why can't they even go ahead and write the shtar whether the moicher likes it or not? So the Rosh brings down two terutzim. The Rosh says, the first terutz that the Rosh says is that while this would be true with every other t'nai, let's say the moicher made a t'nai and he said that if you give the loikeach, if you give the buyer $100, then the karka will belong to him. Then certainly, if the moicher wants to change his mind, the Edom could go ahead and give the money that the moicher had stipulated to the loikeach, and the kinyan will be chal. Because since the Edom have the ability to give the money to the loikeach, therefore they can be mekayim the t'nai, they can fulfill the obligation of the t'nai against the will of the moicher. And the transaction will take place whether the moicher likes it or not. However, in this situation where the stipulation was that a shtar has to be written, and the halacha of a shtar is that a shtar has to be written midas ha'mischayev, the person against whom the shtar is going to be used eventually as proof has to acquiesce to the writing of the shtar. He has to have das to write the shtar. He has to instruct the Edom to write the shtar. And even if he instructed the Edom to write the shtar, as long as he later on backs out from writing the shtar, he can withdraw that das ha'mischayev. And therefore, the Edom would be impossible for the Edom to write the shtar against the will of the moicher. So that's why, in this case, the moicher could be chayzer and the Edom cannot write the shtar against the moicher's will. That's the first teretz the Rosh says. The second teretz the Rosh says is that the Rosh himself holds that even in a situation where the moicher stipulated and said, if you, Edom, give the loikeach $200 or $100, whatever it is, then the mecher should be chal. Even in that situation, the Edom cannot fulfill that t'nai against the will of the moicher. Why? Normally, a t'nai can be fulfilled against the wishes of the person who stipulated the t'nai. The answer is, says the Rosh, because this is a very, very interesting kind of t'nai. It's not a standard t'nai. Usually, the moicher, the seller, makes a t'nai to his benefit. The loikeach, the buyer, makes a t'nai to his benefit. In this situation, the seller is making a t'nai to the benefit of the buyer. It must be, says the Rosh, that the intention of the t'nai is just to give the moicher a right to back out. Now, the exact reasoning of the Rosh is very, very complex, and I can't say I fully understand it. It's a very hard rush to understand why, when the wrong person makes a stipulation, we understand that the reason why he's making the t'nai is in order to allow himself the possibility to back out. However, let's just deal with the facts of the Rosh. The Rosh says this fact that when the wrong person makes a tnai, he has the right to be chayzer from the mekach, and nobody can be mekayim the tnai against his wish. The Rama in Chayshe Mishpat says that he discusses the situation of a tnoim, when two people agree to get married. And they make certain conditions, that the monetary conditions have to be fulfilled. And they also made a tnai, almanaz shenichtoi v'sashtar, that both sides have to write the shtar in order for the tnoim to actually take effect. Before the shtaris are written up, one side wants to back out. So what's the halacha? Could that side back out, or could the other side insist that he wants to keep the tnoim whether or not the shtaris are written, So the Rama says that both parties could back out, because since there was a stipulation, amanas shenichtoi v'sashtaris, they both said that we have to write the shtaris, the halacha will be that they could both back out. The Ir Shushan, the Levush, takes a strong issue with this Rama. He says that although the Rush says, l'maskana, that a tnai that is stipulated for the other party's benefit, that stipulation gives the moicher, the person to whose detriment the tnai is, the ability to be chayzer, that only applies where the tnai is only stipulated for the other person's benefit. In this case, the opposite is true. The reason why these two parties stipulated at the tnaim and said that we have to write the shtaris is to protect themselves. It's not to protect the other party. But they knew that they could only make the stipulation if they agreed to write a shtar on their own. But the real motivation for each side to make this tnai, to say that the only way the tnaim is going to take effect is if the shtaris are written, is only because they want their own benefit. They want to get the shtar from the other party. That's why they made this tnai. So this would absolutely not be included under the reasoning of this rush that says that a person has a right to back out when he stipulates the other party's benefit. In this case, that's certainly not the case. Each party is stipulating for their own benefit. The Sma and the Taz both take the side of the Rama. They say that while the Ir Shushan is 100% right, there's no question that the second reason of the Rush doesn't apply, but the Rush never backed off of his first reason. The Rush still holds that even when you don't have this added line of reasoning, that when you stipulate to the other person's benefit, you must mean to be keeping for yourself the ability to back out, that it certainly would not apply like the Ir Shushan says, that each party over here is making the tonight for their own benefit. Nevertheless, the other line of reasoning of the Rush would certainly apply. Since the first tarot of the Rosh is that a shtar is different than everything else, since the tnai is almanas shenichtoi v'sashtar, and the shtar has to be written midas amischayiv, so whichever party wants could stop the shtaris from being written against them. Since each party could stop a shtar from being written against them, so even though we don't have a reason to reinterpret the reason for the tanai, nevertheless, each party in this tanoim has the ability to throw a monkey wrench in the entire proceeding. Why? Because each person can say, I don't want a shtar to be written against me. I am being mevatel the shlichus of the Edom. The Edom will no longer be able to write a shtar midas neskayim, and therefore the tanai was not neskayim, and the tanoim is not going to be neskayim. The Ktzais, however, answers the opinion of the Ir Shushan. The Ktzais says that while these Achroinim are right, while the Sma and the Taz are right, that certainly the other reason of the Rush would apply, and since we're dealing with Shtaris, each party has the right and the ability to stop a Shtar from being written against themselves, and therefore they should have been able to throw a monkey wrench into the entire proceeding. Nevertheless, the Ktzais argues that wouldn't work in this case. Why? Because the first teretz of the Rush also needs to have the fact that the shtar was made to the other person's benefit. Why? Because there's another instrument that can be used to keep this transaction going. That instrument is Hareini Keilu Eskabalti. Whenever a person makes a tanai for their own benefit, and the tanai is not fulfilled, and nevertheless, the person to whom's benefit the tanai accrues wants the transaction to take place regardless of the Tanai, that person has the right to say, Hareini kilu iskabalti, even though the Tanai was not fulfilled, the only reason I made this stipulation is only for my own benefit. And as soon as I say that I'm happy with the way it is, it's as though the Tanai was fulfilled, because I made it only for my benefit. And if I'm happy with the situation, there's no reason that there should be any kind of insistence over here on the actual Kima Tanai. So the Ksais makes the following argument. Even though the Rush, in his first Teretz, doesn't use his line of reasoning that he uses in the second Teretz to totally reinterpret the Tanai and say that the purpose of the Tanai is to allow the parties the ability to back out, And the Rosh's first line of reasoning says, no, the whole purpose of the Tanai is to get the Shtar. But at the end of the day, you can't write the Shtar since there's no Das HaMeschayev on the Shtar. Fine, that would all work where the Moicher made a stipulation for the benefit of the Lekeach. So although we're not going to reinterpret the Tanai and understand the Tanai as being different than any other Tanai, nevertheless, Lekeach cannot say Hareini kilu iskabalti. Because since he's not the person who made the Tanai, he doesn't have the ability to say that I don't care about the Tanai anymore. However, in the situation of a Tanoim, if we accept the line of reasoning of the Er Shushan, which Osman and Shach do accept his line of reasoning, and they accept that by Tanoim, the Tanai of writing the Shtar, the intention and the purpose of the Tanai, and the motivation of the Tanai is only to the benefit of the people making the Tanai, so therefore we would be able to use this instrument of Hareini kilu iskabalti and say that although we certainly can write the Shtar against the wishes of the Das HaMeschayev, nevertheless, we will be able to say Hareinu kilu iskabalti, and whichever side wants to keep the Tanoim going would be able to say on his Tanai Hareinu kilu iskabalti. And as far as the other person's Tanai is concerned, I can write the Shtar Bal Karchai of the other side. So I'll write the Shtar, and as far as the Shtar that he has to write for me, I'll say Hareinu kilu iskabalti, and therefore the Tanoim will remain in effect.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.